from Washington, D.C. It's the last honest man in Washington. It's the Cooner Show. From the Washington Times. From our nation's capital. Live from the belly of the beast. It's Cooner Time.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT. The last honest man in Washington. 301-984-9570. My friends, the votes are in. You members of the Cooner country, you have voted. And unlike the Obama regime, we don't stuff ballot boxes here. There's no vote rigging or voter fraud here. It's a clean vote. Ray, what is the final tally, my friend? Who won? Am I still champion, Ray?
Jeff Cooner remains the champion of the debate segment still.
Oh, Ray, was it unanimous?
It was pretty much a landslide.
Did anybody vote for Dr. Grace?
You want the Russian answer or you want the real answer?
No, give me the real answer, Ray.
I haven't gotten one yet, so if you have
I vote for Dr. Grace. Did you get that in there? I voted for her. She won the debate, Ray. I think she won the debate. So my vote is for her.
Okay.
So put one vote in for her and everybody else in for me.
Okay.
All right, sweetie, just so that you know, I voted for you, baby. I thought you won. You cleaned my clock. It was over the moment you started talking, as far as I was concerned. My friends, do you know what I find absolutely unbelievable about this entire Quran-burning controversy? Yes, I expect MS Left BC. I expect CNN. I expect the New York Times. I expect the Washington Post. I expect MoveOn.org. I expect Media Matters. All of the leftists in the media, I expect them to castigate and demonize this man. That I understand. That I knew was coming before it even happened. I also expected Eric Holder and Secretary of State Clinton and the dear leader, all of them to come out against him. What else? What else can liberal lunatics do but come out against and castigate a Christian? That's all they're good at, is crucifying Christians and appeasing radical Islam. But what I find amazing is the so-called establishment right, the establishment conservative media. Have you seen the coverage on Fox News? You think CNN is tough on this guy? You think the leftists at MSNBC are tough on this guy? They're annihilating this guy. They're cutting his throat. Fox News is running hour after hour after hour. He's an anti-Muslim bigot. He's inflaming the situation. We have to listen to General David Petraeus. He's putting our troops at risk. Terry Jones is endangering our troops. He's endangering the mission. It's like a mantra from these people at Fox News. And here is why. And this is why, my friends, I've never been a big fan of Fox News. Don't get me wrong. When I watch cable television news, I prefer them over CNN and MSNBC. It's no contest. I can't stand to see those leftists at CNN and MS Left BC, those liars and propagandists. But notice, from Sean Hannity to Shepard Smith to all of them over at Fox News, they are towing the corporate line. And the corporate line is this: we have to be fair and balanced. We have to be respectable. We have to be, quote, on the respectable right. We can't come across as Islamophobic or anti-Muslim. So to seem moderate, to seem sensible, to seem tolerant, we have to now annihilate this guy Terry Jones and portray him as a right-wing fringe crazy Christian. We don't want to bring up the parallels to the Ground Zero Mosque. We don't want to mention the Bibles that are being desecrated in the Muslim world. We don't want to mention how American burning has become, from flags to Bibles. No, we don't want to mention any of that. No. We don't do that here at Fox News. And the reason why is this. And it is why, my friends, I'll be very candid with all of you. I have been very weary in my march towards national syndication. Because one of the things I've been told repeatedly by people who've been interested in syndicating the show is they want editorial control. When you go big, when you get involved with a major corporate syndicate as most talk radio hosts do. What they want is your soul. They want your independence. They want to be able to control the editorial line. They want to basically tell you what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say. How far off the reservation you can actually go. Let me give you some examples. Have you noticed on the birth certificate issue? They won't touch it. Fox News won't touch it. Most of the major conservative radio talk show hosts won't touch it. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed on Obama being born a Muslim, which is, he admits it in his autobiography, his father was a Muslim, his stepfather was a Muslim. The fact that he was raised as a Muslim, they won't touch it. They don't want to touch that. That's something they cannot touch. To say that Obama is creating a socialist regime and he is a wannabe socialist dictator, they can't say that. They won't touch it. I wrote a column several months ago, every Friday in the Washington Times. This one was in what, late June, early July, I forget when, where I called for the impeachment of Obama. Where I said, if you look at the crimes, if you look at the abuse of power, if you look at the scandals plaguing this administration, it's an open and shut case for impeachment. And when Republicans begin to investigate this administration, when they sweep into power in November, it will be just like under Clinton in the late 1990s. The logic, the facts, the evidence will all point one way, towards impeachment. It is inevitable. It's been one of my most popular columns ever written. It's one of the most widely read columns, in fact, articles, ever in the history of the Washington Times. And yet, I get email after email from people, from veterans, people who served in Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam. They go, Jeff, I read your column. I agree with every word. I loved it. Can I ask you, why is nobody else talking about this? Why is Fox News not talking about it? Why are not some of the major conservative talk radio hosts talking about it? Because they got to toe the line. They have to toe the line. The line is this. Impeachment is a distraction. Impeachment will get the Republicans bogged down. We don't want impeachment. So the order is given out, so they don't talk impeachment. They don't talk birth certificate. They don't talk his Muslim heritage. Many issues are beyond the pale. They cannot be touched. And ultimately, I said this at the time, and I'll say it again. Rupert Murdoch is a businessman. I have nothing against businessmen. Believe me, I'm a free market capitalist. More than, in fact, many at Fox News or many of the conservative talk show hosts. I don't need a lesson from them on free market capitalism. But he is a businessman first and a conservative second. And recently he has gotten into bed with the Saudis. He is looking to expand his financial media empire, not only in Saudi Arabia, but all across the Middle East. And the Saudis have now bought a major share of Fox News, of News Corporation. He who pays the piper calls the tune. And I warned people, I said, watch, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. That's how these things work. But in the end, you're going to see Fox News' coverage of hot-button Islamic issues diluted. And that's exactly what's starting to happen. Already, have you noticed? They're not too big on the war on terror. I saw Politano, he has that show on Fox Business over the weekend. He's an anti-war conservative. America should pull out of the Middle East. America should pull out of Iraq, pull out of Afghanistan. We have no business anywhere in the world. Now they like isolationists over at Fox News. Oh, no, no, no. Suddenly now, it's the brand of conservatism many Saudis like. That's what the Saudi regime likes. So I'm noticing, bit by bit, we are slowly even losing Fox News to the mainstream media. Already they're selling out many of their principles. And so the question I have for all of you is a simple one. What do you make of the media's coverage of the Quran burning issue? Is there an orthodoxy? Is there a politically correct line that is being imposed upon the media? 301-984-9570. What do you make of Fox News' coverage? Let's go to Shane in Rockville on line 4. Shane, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Hey, Cooner, I have a football analogy for the doc. modern Muslims may not want to kill us like the radicals, but they're on the same team, they wear the same jersey, and they read the same playbook. They're just a less athletic second string. They still believe their team is better than the Judeo-Christian teams. And you know what's funny is, it's like these radicals, they commit these dirty fouls, and, i.e. Ground Zero Mosque, and our team retaliates, and what do the refs do, i.e. our government? Well, they fine us. And then people like the docs say, oh, no, don't even worry about that. I mean, it's crazy.
No, it is. Shane, it's completely crazy, and this is what I've noticed. Have you noticed this? This is, to me, what blows my mind away. Let me just flip it, Shane. Let's just say a bunch of Christian militants hijacked four planes, crashed them into the World Trade Center, crashed them into the Pentagon. One crashed in a field in rural Pennsylvania. 3,000 Americans would be 3,000 Americans slaughtered, dead. What would be your reaction as a Christian, my reaction as a Christian, Ray's reaction as a Christian? We would immediately condemn it. We would say, this is disgusting, this is disgraceful, this is a violation of everything we hold dear. We renounce it categorically. We side completely with the American people, and we ostracize and marginalize these people. We want them excommunicated. We would be out on the streets marching. Have you noticed how many Muslims, not just around the world, let that go? Because the argument is, and there's some validity to it, hey, you live in Pakistan, you live in Iran, you live in Saudi Arabia, you oppose those mullahs, you're going to get your head chopped off. I understand that argument. But what about the Muslims in America? Here, you're free to say anything. There are no consequences to what you say. None. If anything, you're a fashionable victim. As a Muslim, you're a fashionable victim. You're one of the part of the victim minority groups. How come nobody comes out and categorically denounces radical Islam? Notice how so few of them can criticize Hamas or Hezbollah. How so few of them will come out and condemn Sharia law. Never mind the Ground Zero Mosque. So my question is an obvious one. Where are your sympathies? Because you don't seem to be too critical of Sharia law. You seem to be like this Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. You seem very quick to blame America. Very quick to rationalize the attacks on 9/11. So the question I have is a very simple one. What comes first? Your Muslim identity, your religious identity, or your American identity? For most Christians, for most Jews, for most Americans, that question is settled. Our allegiance is to America and the Constitution. Sharia law and the Constitution are inherently incompatible. So, you have to choose. Sharia or the Constitution? I know where I side. Where do you? This is Jeff Kuhner on 570 WTNT, 301-984-9570. I'll take all of your calls right after this break on The Kuhner Show.
America's champion of liberty, The Kuhner Show. It's Kuhner time.
Welcome back to The Kuhner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. Let's go to Georgina on line three. Georgina, thank you for patiently holding. Welcome to The Kuhner Show.
Hi, Mr. Kuhner. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I would have to cast my vote for Dr. Grace.
Really?
She is absolutely right, and I doubt any Muslim would dispute it. The Muslims believed that it was the angel Gabriel that taught Muhammad the Quran, which is why there are great similarities between Christianity and Islam. And I would, and you would never find a Muslim out there that would dispute that. So she's the winner, and she's absolutely right.
Wow.
The second point is, and it may be a little out there, but there are three numbers, if placed in the right sequence, is very sacred to Islam. And those numbers are 7, 8, and 6. I noticed that Obama was born in 61, which translates to 7. The place from where he came, Illinois, has 8 alphabets in it. And his name, Barack, has 6 alphabets, 7, 8, and 6. Time, place, and person. I remember when he was on the campaign trail when he said that Barack was the chosen one. I'm wondering if this was just a coincidence.
That's very interesting. Georgina, let me ask you this. Why are 7, 8, and 6 such sacred numbers in Islam? That I have not heard.
I don't know, but just growing up in India...
You're from India?
Yeah, I grew up in India.
Okay.
And
are you Muslim by any chance, Georgina?
No, I'm Christian.
You're Christian, okay.
I'm half French, half English.
Okay.
My favorite. But I grew up around Muslims. I went to a Catholic school and where there were a lot of Muslims in the school. And whenever there would be protests on the streets, our principals would tell the students that we have to let the Muslims go so they can go and kill the other non-Muslims. And for some reason, outside everybody's houses, you would have 7, 8, and 6. And they think that 7, 8, and 6 is the name of God. It represents Allah in some form. I don't know, but it's very symbolic.
Mm.
And if you have a car in India or any other Muslim country where you have a license plate 7, 8, and 6, people want to buy that car from you just because of the name, the number 7, 8, and 6.
Okay, Ray is very nervous now, Georgina, because he has 7, 8, 6 on his license plate.
Oh, any Muslim would pay a high price for that.
Ray! Ray, look at Ray saying, let's make some money. Ray, you just hit the lottery, buddy. Georgina, I want to thank you. Very interesting call, Georgina. I want to thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much for having me on.
What I tell you, best callers in the business. I have to say, my friends, what I do know about Obama is this. In researching him, reading his autobiography, studying his past, talking to people who know him, his name is clearly both Arabic and Muslim. There's no getting around it. His name, Barak, is an Arabic name. It means blessing in Arabic, which is why he's called Barak. Now, that's not necessarily Muslim. It's just Arabic. It's Barak for blessing. His middle name, this is the key. That's a Muslim name. That's Hussein. And Hussein has very special resonance in the Muslim world because Hussein was the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. So if you look at his name, in fact, it rhymes. It's an adjective. It's Blessing Hussein Obama. Blessings to Hussein. So his name is explicitly Muslim and explicitly Arabic. Now, you won't get that from the mainstream media. You won't get that from Fox News. You won't get that from these corporate shills that toe the line. But if you're willing to be independent, if you're willing to speak truth to power, if you're willing to actually pursue the truth on behalf of the American people, you can easily unwrap who Obama is. Believe me, my friends, there's no mystery there if you're just willing to go and search for it. Let's go to Mike in Washington, D.C. on line 2. Mike, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Marhaba, Habibi. First, I'd like to say to you, your Arabic is very bad. It's like Russian. Okay? So let's be honest. No good. Huh? How are you? Let me tell you about the special numbers. There are special numbers. In Arabic, we reverse the B and the P. Palestine, Palestine. And the special numbers coming up, Jeff, are 2, 0, and 1. Let me tell you what that represents. 2 being the first, 0 the second, 1 the third, and 2 the last. 2012, we're going to kick his ass out this door, baby.
Great call, Mike. Thanks, buddy. Let's go to Dan in Alexandria on line 1. Dan, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Jeff, hey, thanks. And all this talk about numbers, I just laughed at that last call. That's funny. So it's not about numbers. It's about what this guy is supposedly doing. We have to focus on what he is has set out to do. The numbers be darned. He is here to destroy this country. Absolutely, emphatically, he has said that he is going to do a transformation of our economy.
Dan, let me tell you the number that means most to me, and that's $3.7 trillion. That's how much he's amassed on the debt to the debt in the first 2 years of office alone. That is more in 2 years than this country accumulated in the first 225 years of our history. $3.7 trillion. My friends, that is the number of bankruptcy. That is the number of ruin. That is the number that Obama has imposed upon us. November cannot come fast enough. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT. My friends, Obama was on the campaign trail today in Cleveland. You won't believe what he said. We have that explosive story and so much more right after the break here on the Cooner Show.
Call Cooner now, 301-984-9570.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington, 301-984-9570. My friends, we are now joined by Brett Decker, the editorial page editor of the Washington Times. If you want to read the most premier, cutting-edge, brilliant editorial page in the country, go to WashingtonTimes.com, click on commentary and editorial. We're on deck with Decker. Brett, how are you, my buddy?
Great. That's great intro music you have on there.
That's all Ray. It's all Ray.
Yeah.
Ray actually thinks he's the star of the show.
Yeah, rock and roll Ray.
Yeah, it's rock and roll Ray. I mean, honestly, you know, Ray left for a vacation last week, and he didn't know how we were going to do the show without him. We somehow did it, Brett. I don't know how we managed without Ray.
Show must go on.
I go, Ray, it's your universe, baby. I just live in it.
So at least, I guess you didn't have to do reruns then.
Ray was actually suggesting that. We should maybe do a best of Cooner. I go, no, Ray, I think we can do a live show without you. I think we can manage it, Ray. Brett, listen, you guys got some superb editorials. I want to jump in there right away. The one that caught my eye was the one yesterday on voter fraud at the Justice Department. Now, just to set it up for everybody, this is an editorial where you guys have been breaking story after story. Many people are worried, you know what, with the elections coming up in November, the Democrats poised for historic losses, are the Dems going to do anything to try to engage in voter fraud? Take it from there, Brett, because apparently you're saying there's a lot of shenanigans going on in the voting rights section at the Justice Department, correct?
Yeah, there's at least 17 states that have not abided by their federal rules for routinely scrubbing your voter rolls to make sure that there aren't ineligible people signed up to vote, like, say, felons. And in many of these states, actually, there are a lot of dead people still signed up to vote. And in a lot of these states, you have counties where there are more people registered to vote than there are people of voting age in the county.
That's incredible.
So,
I mean, well, I remember you meant, I mean, I just remember from the story yesterday, 17 counties in South Dakota, 17 in Mississippi, 7 in Alabama. I mean, that's unbelievable. And there are 17 counties in South Dakota that there are more people registered. I mean, you're saying there are more people registered to vote than there were actual citizens of voting age.
Yeah, exactly. So what's going on there? And we're not going to know because the Justice Department isn't really interested in looking into it. You know, they have you have all these places where we know there is potential voting fraud going on, and this justice official, Julie Fernandez, who's in charge of looking into kind of these things, several justice officials have acknowledged that she said this, and this quote's unbelievable. She said, "We have no interest in enforcing this provision of the law that requires you to scrub your voter rolls." And then the quote, and then she continues, "It has nothing to do with increasing turnout, voter turnout."
Ah,
so we're not going to go into it.
Bingo.
So
it's all about increasing voter turnout for Obama and the Dems.
Yeah, why would the Justice Department not be interested in enforcing a law that makes sure the books are clean at the polling place? It's because it might undermine a couple of their key constituencies, dead people and felons.
Now, Brett, do you think, I mean, what do you think is going to come of this? Do you think that, you know, ACORN can get involved, a lot of these local community organizations can get involved, and suddenly you have people voting several times, you have people, you know, dead people apparently voting, you have felons voting. Is the Justice Department potentially aiding and abetting massive voter fraud?
I mean, it's definitely, guilty of, you know, a sin of omission and not looking into this. You know, how it works in a lot of these places is they have, you know, their lists of voters and all their names, and they check people off as they vote. Well, as election day goes by, you have a lot of, you know, you can tell who's not there. So at the end of the day, you know, you have a lot of, you have a lot of possibility of people coming in and saying, you know, they're a certain person in voting. Because remember, you know, liberals think it's against the law to ask for ID at a voting place. So I can go in and say I'm Jesse Jackson and vote.
Could this also enable illegal immigrants to vote?
Oh, I think easily, yeah. And the Justice Department, by the way, also hasn't looked into numerous cases of illegals voting. And in some cases, people have been allowed to continue becoming U.S. citizen after admitting they voted illegally. Unbelievable. I have a personal connection to some of this stuff in that my younger brother, Steve, who it's actually his birthday today, he's in Chicago. He showed up at a polling place once to vote in the primary, and they didn't even have a GOP ballot. He had to wait an hour. Most people, you go to vote, you know, this is Chicago, so nobody's really surprised. You know, you show up to vote in the morning before work. Most people aren't going to wait an hour to get the right ballot. They're just going to leave. But they were stupefied anybody was looking for a GOP ballot.
To vote in the GOP? Yeah.
Those who's voting there, you know. You know, Nixon could be voting in the Chicago in the Chicago election.
Well, listen, speaking of Chicago, apparently the mayor of Chicago, Daley, is stepping down. He's not going to run for re-election. And it looks like Rahm Deadfish Emanuel may be making a bid to become the next mayor of Chicago. What do you think of that?
It'd be pretty scary. I don't know if you saw the story today, but one of the things Rahm said, you know, he wouldn't mind leaving the White House because, and I was rolling on the floor when I saw this, he's tired of all the idealism. you know, it's running the country into the ground. It's principled work.
Now, speaking of running the country into the ground, Brett, you have an editorial. It's your lead editorial in today's paper. The recovery summer, has it worked out the way the dear leader and Biden said it would? Apparently now there's another $50 billion they're offering in infrastructure spending for a fabulous fall. What do you at the Washington Times say?
Look, if you want to know how the stimulus has worked, for the first time in our history, we have to look to Europe for examples of fiscal restraint. You know, these socialists in Germany and France make us,
they look like flaming conservatives, like compared to us.
In the last year and a half, a little over a year and a half since the first stimulus package went through, our unemployment has spiked 2 full percentage points since February 2009. When the stimulus went through. France and Germany, which resisted, you know, Obama pressured them to spend more, and they said, no, we don't think that's the way to get out of it. Germany's unemployment rate actually fell 0.3 percentage points, so it's going in the right direction. And France's unemployment rate is 1.3 increase in that period, where we've gone up 2. So France and Germany are faring a lot better than us because they've spent less.
So, in other words, fiscal restraint, cutting spending, in fact, has improved the employment situation, at least for Germany, and hasn't damaged it as badly in France as it is here in the United States, correct?
Bingo.
So,
and
we're going, Brett, essentially, we're going backwards, not forwards.
We're digging a deeper hole. And the other thing Obama doesn't really get, you know, I mean, is, you know, only having a partial Senate term under his belt, maybe he doesn't know how these things work, but he acts as if this is an instant jolt to employment, even if you believe, you know, the canard that government can buy jobs somehow and not take jobs away from the private sector. He thinks it's instant, presto. Like, he can say we're going to spend $50 billion and suddenly you have all these jobs out there. But that's proven wrong because 20% of that stimulus passed last year, February 2009, right? I mean, we're going on, you know, 2 years old, 20% of that hasn't been spent yet. And
There's over $200 billion still lying around, correct?
Yeah, 17 months later.
Brett, look, I only got about a minute, but this to me, let me ask you this, because you make a brilliant point in today's editorial. That $50 billion infrastructure project, spending plan that he's proposing, explain to the listeners of Cooner Country, how is this a massive giveaway to the union members? He's essentially energizing labor for the November elections. That's what this is about, correct?
Yeah, this is all going to go to infrastructure spending. There's this dusty old law that says federal infrastructure spending has to go to unionized labor.
Ooh.
So when he says $50 billion, that's a big gift to the unions.
So it's the Davis-Bacon Act, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
So basically infrastructure spending has to go to the unions.
Yeah, he's giving a big wet kiss to all the labor unions.
My friends, go to thewashingtontimes.com. You can read editorials that will knock your socks off. The best conservative commentary and analysis in the country. It's the premier conservative editorial page. And the man, he may not be the brains behind the operation, but he's certainly the muscle behind the operation. Brett Decker. Brett, as always, superb stuff, buddy. We'll have you on next week.
All right, great. You can fire up some more Kid Rock then.
Take care, Brett.
Have a good week.
My friends, we've been talking to Brett Decker, editorial page editor of the Washington Times. Go to www.washingtontimes.com. Click on commentary or editorial. Believe me, it's worth your while. You want to hear what Obama said today on the campaign trail? Stay tuned. We'll have that and your calls after the break on the Cooner Show. Cleveland, that is not the America I know. That is not the America we believe in. A lot has changed since I came here in those final days of the last election. But what hasn't changed is the choice facing this country. It's still fear versus hope. The past versus the future. It's still a choice between sliding backward and moving forward. That's what this election's about. That's the choice that you will face in November. Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. Well, that was the dear leader on the campaign trail today in Cleveland saying, hey, the problem in Washington is not the Democrats. It's them. It's the Republicans. They want to return us to the dreaded Bush years. They want to return us to the failed policies of the 2000s under the evil George Bush. My friends, they think that by going to the well one more time and demonizing Bush and demonizing the Republicans, that this is going to resonate and play well in November. Well, I have news for you, dear leader. We don't want to go forward. Not your kind of forward. We don't want any more record deficits. We don't want skyrocketing debt. We don't want a failed healthcare system. We don't want broken borders. We don't want 9.6% unemployment. You're the one that inherited a recession and turned it into the Great Depression. And come November, you can demonize the Republicans all you want. You can stand there and lie all you want. But this hope and change, this forward-backward routine of yours is no longer going to fly because it's you, sir, that's on trial. You have a record. The Republicans haven't been in power. And this, my friends, is to me the mother of all lies. You keep hearing it from the liberals, from the mainstream media, and from the Democrats. The obstructionist Republicans, they had 40 senators, now 41. They couldn't obstruct a swinging door. That's how little power they've had. They've had control of Congress. They have control of the media. They have control of the White House. This is now their economy, and Obama blew it. Let's go to Tom in New Jersey on line two. Tom, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Thank you, Jeff Cooner, 570 TNT. That's red, white, and blue dynamite, baby.
Thank you, Tom. What's on your mind, buddy?
You're welcome. In response to what you just said, even though I didn't call about that, God bless the United States. Party. But, Jeff, I have to say once again, liberalism is alive and well in Vatican. Today, in an ex-cathedra statement, the Holy See renounced the burning of the Quran by Reverend Terry Jones, who is a Protestant minister exercising his First Amendment right and commemorating the brutal terroristic attacks on the United States on September 11th, 9 years ago. The Vatican needs to be consistent, Jeff. They need to show the courage of their convictions and closeness to Christ and the Trinity by making an equal and just statement condemning the building of that 9/11 Cordova Victory Mosque on the graves of the innocent in Lower Manhattan.
Tom, bingo.
I pray the Holy Spirit will guide them, Jeff. They're wrong again, just like they were on the Green Movement, which is a pro-abortion and pagan movement. God bless you.
Tom, well said. You know what? If they want to condemn the Quran burning, that's fine. But I would rather the Vatican speak out on the Ground Zero Mosque. Two wrongs don't make a right. Let's go to Gina on line 3. Gina, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
My pleasure,
Gina. I just wanted to tell you that I absolutely agree with your opinion on Fox News. I experienced this on my own skin. I can tell you about one very prominent host on Fox News. I heard him on two issues. I know he's lying through his teeth on border issue. And second, a couple of days ago, he told that all Americans who think that Obama is Muslim are nuts. He applying Galinsky's tactic to us. He explained to us very well what Galinsky tactic is, and he is applying it to us right now. I try to contact him and tell what evidence we have about border and Muslims. American people have right to think this way because Obama gave us all information himself. I heard him on Michael Boyle's show when Michael Boyle was discussing border issue, and he told to Michael Boyle, I did not really study this, but I will not go there. Nevertheless, he had got to proclaim that all Americans who think this way are crazy. This is not right.
Gina,
I feel betrayed.
Gina, you should feel betrayed. My friends, this is why I'm an independent conservative. And my vow
Thank
to you,
you
is this. I will never betray my principles for any corporation or any business. I'd rather be small and speak the truth than be big and say lies. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT. May God bless all of you. May God bless America. We will be back, Ray and I, here tomorrow, same time, same place, on The Cooner Show.
The Cooner Show.
Cooner Show.